And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're chatting here today with USD 320 Wamego Superintendent Tim Winter and discussing everything as plans get underway for the fall 2020 semester and the new school year, really. And a lot of uncertainty, as we mentioned. School year's scheduled for now to start August 20th. Of course, anything can happen between now and then. And one that's kind of a hot topic right now, and I'm curious kind of what is the policy at Wamego, is that of face masks. How is that being implemented, at least right now?
We are doing everything we can just to encourage everyone to take every precaution possible, whether that's been accepted by the county or our city organizations or not, because we really want to minimize the numbers as much as possible so that we can do whatever we can to ensure that we're going to be in school this fall and going to have activities, going to have volleyball and football and cross country, tennis, et cetera, all of those four fall sports, because we know those are also very, very important to our students and their parents. So we're doing a lot of encouraging of just taking any action you can to prevent the spread and protect yourselves and those around you in terms of the social distance, wearing a mask, and washing hands and so forth, disinfecting. When people actually are coming to our buildings and participating in our school activities, such as our summer conditioning programs and our volleyball, basketball, football workouts, et cetera, we are asking all of our staff to wear masks. We're asking our students to wear masks indoors and as much as possible outdoors, especially if they cannot social distance. However, we know that they're pushing themselves during these events and during these activities and workouts. And so what we've defined is when the workout environment is light, it's stretching, it's warming up, it's maybe some of the lifting and so forth, and there's teaching and instruction going on where students aren't heavily exerting themselves physically, then we're asking them to wear masks. When they do get to the point where they're doing conditioning and drills that require a higher amount of physical activity and high levels of oxygen intake, we're allowing those masks to come off. And then for coaches and students to do the best job they can and social distance. So that's some information we sent out. Keisha then followed up with a recommendation, the Activity Association, that was very similar in those regards. So we felt like we were on the same page with those individuals or with that organization. We also are also taking temperatures as athletes arrive, as we have extended school year going on, and we're taking temperature with those students as well. And we have a couple of other programs going on where students' temperature is taken as they arrive to our buildings. So those are some of the things we're doing. And again, just asking everybody to do as much as they possibly can, just to minimize it so that we can have the best chance to start school come August 20th. And it's good to I see Kevin's on now. Yeah. So Kevin needs to talk a little bit.
Yes, Kevin Logan, superintendent at USD 323 Rock Creek. We appreciate you joining us here. And what's new over in Rock Creek?
Oh, Brandon, first of all, I apologize. Time got away from me this morning, and I didn't realize how late it was. So my apologies. I had a text that came to me and said, hey, you're not on the radio. And I thought, it's not that time yet, but it was. So my apologies. Things are going well at Rock Creek. We are preparing, as I caught the tail end of Tim's there, to have students back in our buildings this fall. We've been gathering data from our patrons and our parents as to what they are comfortable with. We are using documents that KSDE is providing. We really like one that the American Academy of Pediatrics had sent out. As far as trying to plan reasonable safety precautions for our students and for our staff members to keep everybody healthy, but yet to make sure that we move on with the educational process in a in a meaningful way and not hinder that process too much by going too far outside of what will make folks comfortable, but yet again keeping everybody healthy. We have summertime activities that are moving forward a little bit. I did hear this morning, just a few minutes ago, that our high school basketball camps have been canceled due to some social distancing concerns there and not being able to keep students separated as we would like, similar to where we are with wrestling right now. So we're doing what we can within the realm of what we can do. So the big thing is we can't set too many hard and fast plans at this time, simply because things change on us. I don't want to say on a daily basis, but on a regular basis, we are getting new guidance coming out.
You know, it's interesting. We haven't touched on this yet here, but I'm curious. We're getting really close to having, when high school football camps would open up and the fall sports seasons. Have you guys gotten any word yet from Kisha on what activities may look like, or is that still up in the air?
That's still up in the air. I think Keisha is probably waiting on this the document from the State Department of Ed in terms of their guidance. And like I said earlier, Keisha did release some guidance on what they would expect athletic programs to be doing over the summer months in regards to masks. They tightened that up a little bit. So. And as I said earlier, what we had put in place last week coming into this week has kind of mirrored that. I did check in and watch some workouts of our students working out this morning. And, I think it's manageable, but it's no fun. It's no fun wearing a mask when it's hot and humid. And so, like I said earlier, having those masks on and in some light workout conditions is what we're doing. And then when it becomes a heavy exertion and so forth, we try and social distance as much as possible and then remove the mask.
All right. Well, as far as if for some reason there are no fall sports here, which is a very good possibility, how big of a hit would that be on your school district? Because I know you guys get a lot of money from that. And really, it's a big community event, especially in the small towns. Kevin, if you want to respond first.
Yeah, I don't believe it will be near as big of a financial hit as what it will be a mental and emotional hit, because it is so much a part of our communities, our middle school events, our high school events, with people coming out. They are the main social gathering in a lot of cases in our size of schools. We are the only game in town for Friday and Saturdays and Tuesday nights for when basketball season hits. For people to get out and socially intermix. I mean, it's a mental health thing, not just for our kids who need that physical release and being around their friends, but also, for our parents and our patrons who use that as their social mixers. So I think very much more a social, emotional impact than what it would be a financial impact.
I would agree 100% with Kevin. The financial impact would be minimal compared to just that lost opportunity for kids to have a purpose, to have to do something that they love to do, to build that cohesive team unity, and just be proud of the hard work they've put in and have a goal and things to strive for. I think we all saw how tough it was on many of our students last spring when we had to cancel and eliminate all spring sports, and Facebook and every other social media outlet was just full of the stories of people that missed out on some opportunities, and especially seniors in their last seasons of whether it was softball, golf, baseball, track, any of those spring sports, and it was just it was a difficult time. We got through it. We will get through this no matter what happens. It'll just be extremely disappointing and take some time to get through, but we'll get through it. And hopefully, sports also just, they keep kids busy. They keep some kids out of trouble. They keep some of our kids motivated in the classroom because it just gives them something to work for. And like Kevin says, it's an outlet to to so many things.
Yeah. And to taking it beyond just the sports, the other co-curricular activities and extracurricular activities with band and choir that are really being questioned right now because of the amount of droplets that are expended as you're singing or as an instrument maybe being played, and then taking that on into forensics and speech and just a variety of activities to where we don't have definite answers yet. And for a lot of our student population, that is their sport, and for lack of a better term, but it's the activity they care about, and that they need those outlets.
I agree, and oftentimes we use the term sports, but we do talk about it. It's all the activities. It's everything that's extracurricular, and those concerts and play productions and so forth are just as important as anything else we do, and that's also done in an environment where we put a lot of people close together, and so just trying to find the ways to spread people out and do whatever we can to still be able to provide those activities and really truly educational opportunities for kids.
Well, we're running low on time here, but give you guys one last opportunity here if there's anything else you want to discuss here this morning.
Kevin, go ahead.
I would just say, we are looking forward to seeing what the state comes out with regarding their competency-based education plan. I know I am very interested in what the state is offering as an alternative to that at this point with remote learning experience. So we'll be weighing both of those at a special board meeting on July 22nd. If we go with the competency-based, we do know that we will need some additional professional development. Right now, our first day of school is scheduled as August 14th, but if we would go the competency-based, we may have to push that back a couple of days just to get some additional PD in for our teachers to be ready to go with the competency-based concept, because from my understanding, we have a couple of administrators serving on a review team that it will be a significant departure from what we currently do in the classroom. So we'll be studying that greatly and talking with our board on the 22nd and making those decisions shortly thereafter.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I can, a second, Brandon, I would just echo Kevin's comments and just encourage everyone to do everything they can just be proactive and help minimize this as much as we possibly can, and stay positive, stay optimistic. Have your kids practice wearing masks and get used to it a little bit, because it will most likely be a part of our future, whether it's a small part or a large part. It is a little bit of the new norm, and I think that it would be a minimal thing to ask if we can all be back in school and in the classroom, and then also participate in activities.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again next month. Hopefully we'll know what that's going to look like by this time next month. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Brandon.
Tim Winter, Kevin Logan, our guests here on In Focus. Stay tuned. We'll hear from Riley City Mayor Tim Sharp next on KMAN.